You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey Kings fans, happy Sunday and happy bonus edition of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, where I will try to make as few biting puns as possible. My name is Sarah Avampado, host of this show, and today we're going to talk about all that hot nonsense that went down in yesterday's win against the Ottawa Senators. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you for making this your first listen, hopefully, of the day, and for always coming back and joining me as we look at what's going on with the Kings. And so let's just get the big bitey elephant out of the room. The Kings won yesterday 4-2 against the Senators. Great, awesome, feels good, must-win game. Really glad that they got that win. I would have been a lot more frustrated or concerned about the Kings had they lost that one. They did their best to lose it, though, but still came away with the 2 points against the literal worst team in the league at this moment. But the big story is not the win. It's not Carl Grundstrom's first two-goal night. It's not the three assists to Anze Kopitar. It's the fact that Brendan Lemieux frickin' bit a man, which I don't know if you know this, is bad. You don't do that. You don't do that. Like, children get in trouble for biting people. Brendan Lemieux should definitely be getting in trouble for biting a person. Doesn't matter that it was whichever Kachuk, Brady Kachuk, it doesn't matter that it was a player we don't like, you still don't bite people. So what happened? It's a 3-2 game, time's winding down, third period, about 6 minutes left. Kachuk and someone else kind of gets in a scuffle with Blake Lizotte, hits him after the puck is moved, after the whistle, whatever happened, doesn't matter. What happens after that is Brendan Lemieux jumps in to defend his teammate, which is fine. That is partially why we have Brendan Lemieux, to be that guy, to be the one who's going to be in there after a whistle with the face wash and, you know, shoving guys around and dropping the gloves when needed. I can feel however I want to feel about fighting in hockey, but, like, the point is that he is here. That is his role. He knows that is his role, to be sort of the physical, gritty, pesty player. And lately, like, I haven't had a whole ton to complain about with Lemieux. His line or his pairing with Lizotte has looked really good. They have been helping to drive play. They've been annoying to play against. They're chipping in goals. Lemieux has had some really pretty goals, and you're like, man, okay, like, maybe I misevaluated this player. No, wrong. Did not misevaluate this player. Lemieux jumps in to defend Lizotte, gets into a huge scuffle with Brady Kachuk. Both guys are, you know, pushing, shoving, go down to the ice, and then maybe, maybe not, who knows, guess we're going to believe Kachuk, Brendan Lemieux bites him in the hand, which, again, is bad. Lemieux's defense at the time was that Kachuk had poked him in the eye, which is also bad. If you're Brady Kachuk, please stop poking people in the eye. That's also gross and bad and everything. But biting someone potentially twice, real bad. Like, it's funny. I'm not going to deny the fact that it's funny, and I certainly got, you know, my share of laughs out of all of the gifs of Kachuk being, you know, whiny and outraged and crying or whatever. Not that I'm making fun of someone crying. Like, it's great to be in touch with your emotions, and he was mad and in pain, and men should be able to cry, whatever. But, like, Kachuk is not, like, this is, like, the two most irritating people on either of these teams getting into it, and you're like, world's tiniest violin for both of you guys. But two wrongs don't make a right, and all because we don't like whatever Kachuk is having beef with us at the moment doesn't mean you can bite him. So both guys take double minors. There's, of course, some, like, penalty box histrionics from both of them, and then Lemieux also gets the 10-minute game misconduct or match penalty, whatever. So, end result, Lemieux is ejected. Kachuk is in the box for 4 minutes, whining about being bitten. Carl Grundstrom serving the penalty for Lemieux. It's a one-goal game with a team that you should have been beating by more than one goal by the end of it. But again, Filip Gustavsson, the goalie, stood on his head. One-goal game. You just gave them a 5-minute major penalty because you wanted to bite a guy. So talk about putting your team at the disadvantage. like, we'll take the trade-off, and Todd McClellan even said this, like, we'll take the trade-off of both of them having to sit in the box for 4 minutes. Like, getting Brady Tkachuk off of the ice for 4 minutes is a great thing. He is, for as irritating as he is, a really good hockey player. I'm great with him sitting in the penalty box for 4 minutes. And Lemieux, even though he's been doing well this season, that's no big loss to have him in the box for that long. So if that was it, like, I'd take it. But instead, because you, again, bit a human being in the middle of a pandemic, you have now put your team in the position where they have to kill a 5-minute penalty because you did something selfish and childish. Fortunately, Cal Peterson was phenomenal in that penalty kill. The Kings players, the Kings penalty killers were great. I think the Senators got off maybe 5 shots in that amount of time, which is really good. And at the end of the day, buzzer goes, Kings win, and Brendan Lemieux has a to-be-determined date with player safety. Shortly after that penalty expired, Carl Grundstrom sealed the deal with an empty net goal. It was his second goal of the game, first career 2-goal game. He'd actually been bumped up to the first line to play with Anže Kopitar, so we'll talk about that later, but, you know, good on Carl for doing that. But now we have this drama looming over us, because now everyone's talking about the Kings. Now everyone's talking about us and paying attention to us for, like, literally one of the... I would have rather people paid attention to us for that losing streak that we were on than for the fact that one of our players bit a human being. But instead, that's where we are now. All of the eyes of the hockey world are on us and our terrible, immature player as we wait to see what player safety is going to do with him. Lemieux does have an in-person hearing. He's been offered an in-person hearing for this. There is no date or time scheduled yet, so it might be a little while until we figure out what exactly is going on with him. But suffice it to say, it's probably going to take place tomorrow, Tuesday. The Kings play again on Tuesday against the Ducks, so you would like to think that they have it resolved before then. If you have not kept up on your player safety rules, if you are offered an in-person hearing, that means the league has the option of making it a game, a suspension of more than 5 games. If it's just a phone hearing, or I guess now a Zoom hearing as they do these days, that means you're automatically getting less than 5 games. But in person means the possibility of 5 or more games. That doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to be 5 or more games. You could very easily get 3 games after an in-person hearing, but the likelihood is that he will probably miss 5 games, which, let's say that's what he misses, which would mean that he would miss the upcoming game against Anaheim. He would miss the game against Calgary, so we don't have to worry about any Tkachuk brotherly retribution there with whatever Tkachuk is there. And then the next 3 games, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Dallas. So I would expect him to be out for a little while. Coming up next in the show, we're going to look at the response from everyone to that hot nonsense, including, quite honestly, a really masterful quote from a very angry Brady Tkachuk. We'll look at that coming up next. But before we get into that, let's talk about television. Because if you, like me, like television, maybe you've been spending a lot of time watching television lately. Had a couple of days off for the holiday, feeling a little lazy, laying on the couch. But it can be really frustrating because it's hard to remember which device you watch which on, what password goes with what account, what you can do to watch this show on some streaming service you've never heard of. It's all really annoying. Well, there's now a simple way to get all of the entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get all your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is that there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. Now, of course, the first thing that anyone wanted to hear after this game was everyone's reactions to this. Obviously, Brendan Lemieux did not talk to the media after this game, quite obviously, but Brady Tkachuk sure did sound off after this game, and his quote is honestly, like, it's really good. In mostly full, there's more in kind of the full audio of his interview with TSN, but this is the gist of it. He says, "This is the one time I'm going to answer this. It was the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. This guy, you can ask any one of his teammates. Nobody ever wants to play with him. This guy's a bad guy and a bad teammate. He focuses on himself all the time. The guy's just a joke. He shouldn't be in the league. The guy is gutless. No other team wants him. He's going to keep begging to be in the NHL, but no other team is going to want him. He's an absolute joke. I can't even wrap my head around it. People don't even do this. He's just a bad guy. It's outrageous. Kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that. I don't even know what he was thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player, but what a joke he is. So, you know, Brady Tkachuk holding nothing back. And, you know, he's not wrong. Some of the concerns that we had with Brendan Lemieux when we acquired him was his reputation. He has a reputation for, A, being a little dirty on the ice, which, you know, is one thing you can deal with. But he has also had a reputation for not necessarily being a guy people want to be around. His time in Winnipeg was, he was basically kind of a contract holdout, ended up on the Rangers. That didn't end particularly well either. I feel like his association with Tony D'Angelo and their, like, stupid "we're being canceled" podcast or whatever, I feel like tells you a lot right there. He's allowed to have whatever politics he wants to have, but, like, you're not being canceled, bro. Like, cool. There have always been stories kind of floating around about his time, particularly in Winnipeg. There was a tweet from a guy who covers the Moose for currently for Full Press NHL, Full Press AHL. Jacob Stoller tweeted this out. That he says, while Brendan Lemieux was with the Manitoba Moose, which is the AHL team for the Winnipeg Jets, he says, "I witnessed him pelt pucks at goalie Eric Comrie's head for fun in practice and punch a high-ranking Moose staffer in the nuts before leaving for Christmas break." All of those things, very believable. And of course, while the Kings and the organization and his teammates are going to stand behind him, none of them are going to stand up and say, "Yeah, I totally don't like being in a room with this tool." You know, it's easy to believe that Lemieux is not particularly well-liked. I feel like even with the Kings, we heard rumblings of that last season when he came in and that he didn't necessarily always put his best foot forward. But it is what it is. He is with the team. I don't think that, you know, this isn't a Rangers situation with Tony D'Angelo where, you know, they basically waived him and then just sat him for the rest of the year because he got in a fight with a teammate and they were like, "Okay, no, this is like three strikes, you're out, you're done, you're not going to play here anymore." The Kings aren't going to do that. I don't particularly, quite honestly, trust that anyone in the organization would feel like that was the right move to make, even if it would be the right move to make. So what's going to be interesting to see is the response after he comes back from whatever his inevitable suspension is. Does he get back in the lineup? Does he, you know, sit out for a while? Does he get waived and sent to Ontario and see what happens there? McClellan, you know, was not particularly happy with this outburst. He kind of demurred a little bit. He wasn't coming right out and saying, "Yes, this happened and it's horrible," but he basically says, "When the referee explained it to me, it makes sense. I didn't see it, at least the video that we had on the bench, and there's many different angles, but the way the referee explained it, it adds up. So it's not a situation. First of all, it's wrong if it did happen, and we don't want it to happen. And two, it's not a good situation to put the team in, not only for tonight, but moving forward." So yeah, not only did the Kings have to kill off a penalty, but now they're going to be out this player for several games. Quite honestly, I'm okay with it if they want to throw the book at him on this one. He is, while not a repeat offender in terms of biting, he has a reputation. And, you know, is he going to be treated differently than if, like, Connor McDavid decided to bite someone? Yeah, he is. And I think that's fair. Lemieux and Tkachuk, of course, have beef that goes back to when Tkachuk was on the Rangers. I don't necessarily know that I would say that that was the cause of it, but, like, these aren't guys who are unknown to each other. And, like, let's be real, their dads had beef back in the day when they played. Brady Tkachuk, or Keith Tkachuk and Claude Lemieux, both certainly did not get along particularly well. And Claude Lemieux, much like his son, got ejected for biting a guy once. In 1986, this comes from an article on Defector.com, who did all the great research. It's actually a really good article. The title is called "Biting Runs in the Lemieux Family," I guess. So if you go check that out, you should, because it's a really good synopsis, I think, of the situation and sort of the generational beef here. The Defector.com article from Barry Pachesky, he writes, in 1986, rookie Claude Lemieux scored the only goal in a 1-0 Montreal win over Calgary in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, but he wasn't done there. In the waning seconds of the game, the benches cleared for a brawl, and Lemieux ended up taking a bite of Jim Poplinski's finger. In a quote from the Los Angeles Times article that was written at the time, Lemieux says, "I know I didn't get a piece of it in my mouth, but I think I broke my tooth on it. I guess when you fight, you don't know what you do. I didn't want to fight, but they came after me. I think I did a pretty good job. I think he will remember me." Poplinski said, "He's a good hockey player. I'll give him that. But it's a little frustrating when he tries to bite your finger off." So Apple definitely doesn't fall far from the tree. In this instance, it's two generations of absolute, you know, crapsters, because I don't feel like bleeping myself out here. Two generations of these guys going at it, and couldn't happen to two nicer man children. But again, don't bite people. Like, just don't do it. And yeah, like, Todd McClellan didn't really defend his player on this one. He was like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. Don't do the thing. Now, not only do we have to deal with, you know, killing this 5-minute major to Lemieux, now we're going to be without him for a suspension. So that's going to be interesting to watch, to see, does someone get called up, or do they, someone will get called up to be the extra man, but do they get in? Or is it a, like, TJ Tynan situation of, you're just the extra guy here to have fun and get paid a little bit more? There are lots of candidates in Ontario who I think would be worth a look. And we will talk about that later in the week as we learn what the suspension to Lemieux is. And we'll go from there. But very frustrating, stupid situation that didn't have to happen. Like, two wrongs don't make a right. No, you should not have been poked in the eye. No, they probably shouldn't have even been, like, messing with Blake Lizotte after the whistle or whatever. But again, if you can take one lesson away from this show, no matter how funny it is, do not bite someone. Thank you. After this, we're going to talk a little bit about the actual game itself and not the biting. But before that, I got a couple cool things that I want to tell you about. And first is Built Bar. Because if Built Bar Black Friday wasn't enough, well, now we have Cyber Monday coming for you. That is right. Tomorrow, November 29th, Cyber Monday. Built.com is the place to aim your mouse online. You can get 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That is 20% off site-wide. And you can get even bigger discounts on Built Boost Broth and Built Swag. There's going to be a brand new Built Bar flavor just in time for Cyber Monday, Caramel Almond Delight. And I'll be honest, I got one of these in my mailbox the other day, and I'm really excited to try it tomorrow. Check in. Maybe I'll have tried it by tomorrow's show, and I'll tell you all about it. It delivers everything it promises: caramelized chocolate, almonds, and delightful. You be sure to get yours before they're gone. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and you can get white chocolate cheesecake Built Bar Puffs. It is a yummy protein treat filled with a marshmallowy center and covered in white chocolate. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein. Again, the Built Bar guarantee: low calories, low carbs, high protein, and all around delicious. This is it. This is the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Go to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com and enter code LOCKED20 before it's too late. Also, we've got Bet Online because it's the holiday time, and that means football. And nothing goes better with football than, you know, a big, nice family meal and also betting. Bet Online has you covered for all the holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this holiday season. So head on over to the new updated website on your phone or on your computer to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, hockey, boxing, fighting, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So go to betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON, and get started today. There was, of course, a whole actual hockey game to talk about, not just the, like, 2-minute kerfuffle that resulted in, again, someone biting someone when you shouldn't be biting people. And the good news is that the Kings won the game. They sort of kept pace with the teams above them in the standings. Both Vegas and San Jose lost their most recent games. Below them, the Kraken won their last game, but the gap between the Kings and the Kraken is not significant, but it's enough at this point. The Kings are sitting on 21 points. The Kraken have 15, so I wouldn't worry too much about a surge from behind. So, you know, if you're looking at the standings, we're looking at a situation where the Kings need to keep their eye on the teams up ahead of them, which is Anaheim sitting currently in third in the Pacific, Vegas at fourth, and then San Jose, both teams tied with 21 points at the moment. So you want to see the Kings keep winning those games. And we've got, of course, a crucial couple of games coming up in the next week or so, because we're going to be playing some of our Pacific Division opponents. This week, we're going to be playing the Ducks on Tuesday and the Flames on Thursday. So those are both, no, I wouldn't say must-win games, but it sure would be nice, because we could use the points on those opponents, used to, you know, gain some ground. Next week, more Pacific Division opponents with Edmonton and Vancouver, and then continue with two more Western teams with Dallas and Minnesota. You do kind of need to keep an eye on what's going on with the Central Division because of the whole wild card playoff spot thing. So you do also kind of need to know what's happening a little bit, you know, to our east. But this game, you know, it's a little too early in the season to say must win. But if they didn't beat the Senators after losing to the Coyotes, after only picking up one of 2 points in that game, this team would be in trouble, let's say. Some good things that came out of this one, another power play goal. Victor Arvidsson got his fourth goal of the year. Sean Durzi picked up a secondary assist, so he now has points in both of his NHL games. Arthur Kaliev got on the board with a great pass from Alex Edler. Kaliev's goal, kind of ugly, but it counts. Same with Carl Grundstrom. His goal earlier in that game, again, an ugly goal, was reviewed for a little while to make sure that it went in legally. But, you know, doesn't matter what the goal looks like. It just matters that it went in. So both of those guys, glad to see them get on the board. Kaliev looked super pumped to finally be back in the goal column. It's been a little while since he scored. And then, of course, Grundstrom with that empty net goal at the end of the game. The lines got shuffled around a little bit. Grundstrom did end up on that top line with Kopitar, like I mentioned earlier. I don't think that that is or should be a permanent solution, but, you know, play the hot hand, right? Grundstrom was looking good that whole game. Give him an opportunity to get back, get his groove back, to be playing with better players, really, than he usually has been. You know, he was rewarded for it with those 2 goals. Kings outshot the Senators in this one. We saw lots of shots put on goal by Anze Kopitar, who wound up with 5 total shots. We had Alex Iafallo with 6. Victor Arvidsson had 4. Sean Durzi had 4. So again, he is showing his, you know, that he deserves to be in this lineup. Durzi played the most power play minutes out of all of the guys on the team. He played 5 minutes and 25 seconds on the power play. The only other defenseman who played any really significant penalty or power play minutes was Matt Roy with 1 minute and 38 seconds. Edler had like 7 seconds, so it doesn't really count. Durzi is playing with confidence. It's what you want to see from a young defenseman like that. He's on the power play. He's helping make plays happen. He's giving that power play a little bit of life, which if you are a regular listener of this show, you know is incredibly frustrating to see how lifeless that power play is looking. Durzi played 17 minutes, which was in line with most of the other defensemen. Olimata played just under 13. Bjornfoot and Anderson around 18, 19. So that 5 minutes of power play time really did help Durzi get on the ice more and get a feel for the game. So this was a game where, you know, the Kings did the same thing we have been seeing them do kind of repeatedly throughout the season. They let in goals at the ends of periods. First period, Michael Delzato scored at 19:41. Second period, Connor Brown scored at 18:33. So that's something the team really does need to sit down and figure out why they're allowing that, why they're letting their foot off the gas in the final minutes of periods. You know, really the big thing out of this was the penalty killers, and like whatever fine Brendan Lemieux has to pay or whatever for his stupid biting nonsense, he should also have to like pay his teammates, because those guys who killed that penalty essentially saved the game. Alex Edler, Matt Roy, Bjornfoot, Anderson, Kempe, Kopitar, Deneau, those guys played essentially, Iafallo played around 2 minutes or more of penalty kill time in this game. And they wouldn't have had to do it had Brendan Lemieux not bit another human being. So overall, great to get the win. It doesn't matter how you win. It just matters that you do it. Ugly goals, ugly game overall. And of course, like now we have beef with both Tkachuk brothers. So I can't wait for this to be the overarching narrative forever for both of these teams. So tomorrow we'll be back with whatever news we have about the Brendan Lemieux suspension that I'm sure is coming. We'll take a look at some guys in Ontario who could possibly be called up to get in the game, make their NHL debuts or re-debuts, I guess you could say. And we'll go from there. That is it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the show. Now that you're done here, go and make Locked On Bets your second listen of the day, where you can get your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs with Locked On Bets. Hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, the show is free and available on all platforms. So go check that out. Make sure you're following this show on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. I'm on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Come say hello, give me a follow, and enjoy speculating as to what's going to happen to Brendan Lemieux. Make sure you're following or subscribe to the show. Tell your friends all about it and come back tomorrow and every day of the week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.